Proverbs 5 and verse 4. We're going to take a look at this one tonight and the next one, Proverbs 5:5. I didn't think I'd have enough time to get through 3, so we're just going to cover 2. And that probably turned out well because we are starting a few minutes late tonight anyway. So Proverbs 5 and verse 4, still talking about the strange woman here. In verse 3 it says, "For the lips of strange woman drop as in honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." And then verse 4, "But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword." So we're going to look at that one tonight, and we'll break it down phrase by phrase as normal. So it says, "But her end is bitter as wormwood." So this is contrasting her, at least it appears to be anyway, there is a contrast here between her beginning and her end, because the beginning of the strange woman is sweet like honey, like it says in verse 3, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as in honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." So the beginning of the encounter with a strange woman is sweet, right? And usually that's how sin works, right? The beginning of it, it feels good, it's great, and then comes the judgment, the punishment, the sorrow, you know, all those things. But the end of her is bitter as wormwood. And I'll define bitter and wormwood here for you. Bitter, this is one of those words, we've come across several words like this in this study, where you have the primary definition is the physical thing, and then there is a figurative or spiritual application of that, and that's the case with this one as well. So bitter is one of the elementary sensations of taste proper, obnoxious, irritating, or unfavorably stimulating to the gustatory nerve, disagreeable to the palate, having the characteristic taste of wormwood, gentian, I think is how you say that, or gentian, probably gentian, quinine, bitter aloes, soot. It's the opposite of sweet, causing the proper pain of taste, which I never thought about that before, but yeah, if something's bitter, it is painful to the taste, right? It's not appealing. And then secondly, it is of anything that has to be, quote, tasted, unquote, or endured. It means attended by severe pain or suffering, sore to be borne, grievous, painful, full of affliction. Hence of a state, intensely grievous or full of affliction, mournful, pitiable. So we start off with the bitter taste, which is painful and unpleasant, and it's something that's unpalatable, unfavorable, obnoxious, irritating, so on. And then we move on using that primary definition to a figurative definition. And whenever we are tasting something, right, something that is tasted or endured, it's something that is accompanied with pain and suffering and that kind of thing. So that's why it refers to her end being bitter, because her end is going to be grievous and painful and full of affliction. And then it says her end is bitter as wormwood. Wormwood is, it's found here in a few times in the Bible. I'm not really familiar with it myself. Have any of you ever tasted or seen wormwood before? No, I haven't either. Wormwood is the plant Artemisia absinthium. That probably clears it up for you, doesn't it? Proverbial for its bitter taste. The leaves and tops are used in medicine as a tonic and vermifuge, and for making vermouth and absinthe, or absinthe. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. Formerly also to protect clothes and bedding from moths and fleas, and in brewing ale. That must be some wonderful tasting ale if you use it to keep moths and fleas away. It yields a dark green oil. Figuratively, it is an emblem or type of what is bitter and grievous to the soul. And this is the way the Bible uses it numerous times. I don't have these ones in here, but in the book of Revelation, it talks about the waters becoming bitter as wormwood. And there was even a judgment where it was called wormwood. Forget the other. What was the other one?
The wormwood and the gall.
There's that in the.
I looked that up, but I forgot.
Yep, there's that one. I'm just going to look very quickly here and see if I can find it. And if I can't, I'll move on. I know where it is on the page. Let's see here. I should have looked this up again ahead of time, but it just came to me. Here we go. In Revelation 8 and verse 11, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and men died of the waters because they were made bitter. So there you go. Wormwood makes things bitter. So yeah, hopefully the Lord spares us that judgment as he judges the wicked with it. I don't want to drink wormwood flavored water. I don't know about you. So the end of the strange woman then is grievous, painful, and full of affliction. That's what it means when her end is bitter as wormwood. And her affliction will be bitter because that's what affliction is. 2 Kings 14 and verse 26. 2 Kings 14 and verse 26. It says, "For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter. For there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel." So bitterness causes affliction, or affliction is a bitter sensation. And if you've ever been in affliction, it's be kind of like chewing on wormwood, you know, figuratively speaking. And it tells us in Deuteronomy 29 and verse 18, it likens turning away from God and having a root that bears wormwood, or being in bitterness. And this is the result of it. When we turn on God, we end up experiencing bitterness. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 18. Just giving you some usages of bitterness and wormwood in the scripture to give us an idea of what is waiting for the strange woman, because that's her end. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 18 says, "Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve other gods of these nations, the other God, to serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood." So there's your wormwood and gall, Judy. We have that hymn, the wormwood and the gall. I can't remember. It would come to me. It's one that we sing frequently. "Oh, you Gentile sinners, ne'er forget the wormwood and the gall." Yeah, referring to your previous unconverted life when you lived in bitterness. Right? And wormwood is used in Scripture. Well, anyway, just to draw your attention back to that verse there, we see there that someone's heart that turns away from the Lord his God and goes and follows after other gods is likened unto having a root that beareth gall and wormwood. So that's the result. And that was the verse 8. Yeah, Deuteronomy 29:18. And, you know, you wonder why our culture is experiencing so much bitterness. And we are experiencing bitterness as in suffering, but then people are just bitter. You ever notice that? I mean, there's some really nasty people out there on the fringe that we read about anyway, and we see them in the media that are very angry, bitter, hateful people. And why is our country turned into that? And why does half the country hate the other half? Or at least, you know, you see that a lot in politics. No, it's because we've turned our back on the true God. And now we've been given over to bitterness and gall. And it's not a pleasant condition. Then we have, in Scripture, I'm going to give you two different places here where wormwood is used to describe a condition of judgment and affliction. The first one is Jeremiah 9 and verse 15. The other one's in Lamentations. And if you know anything about Jeremiah and Lamentations, which are both written by Jeremiah, it would make sense that we would read about about people experiencing affliction and being likened unto wormwood because Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. He prophesied Israel. Israel didn't listen, and then they were taken over and destroyed. And then Lamentations is Jeremiah's weeping letter about the horrible affliction that they were suffering. Jeremiah 9 and verse 15. It says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood and give them water of gall to drink." God's previous judgments are often repeated in later judgments. And we see here that he's going to give them, and this is prior to the Babylonian captivity, he's going to give them wormwood and gall to drink. And what did I read you in Revelation at the end of time? The waters are made bitter as wormwood and gall. So yes, the same things that Israel suffered back then are coming here at the end of time for the whole world of the ungodly. And then look at Lamentations 3, 12 through 19. Lamentations is the book after Jeremiah. Lamentations 3, 12 through 19. It says, "He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow." This is Jeremiah speaking of the Lord. He's kind of got a bit of a jaundiced view of the Lord. He's assuming that God has it out for him. Yep. And right. He got an informer, has it out for him, which is interesting. You can express the same thing with in or out. But yeah, he says there in verse 10, he was unto me as a bear lying in wait and as a lion in secret places. Like God's just waiting just to pounce on him. So he's got a bit of a skewed view of the Lord here. But anyway, in verse 13 then, he says, "He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was in derision to all my people. I was a derision to all my people, and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunk with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace." I forgot prosperity. "And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall." There we have it again, wormwood and the gall. So this defines what the wormwood and the gall is, mine affliction and my misery. So this is what is coming for the strange woman. And you think about that. You think about strange women and think about someone who's just lived as a loose, lascivious woman her whole life. And does she have a blessed life at the end of her life? Have you ever seen a woman that lives like that, that has a wonderful life? Kids all around her and grandkids that love her and taking care of her? No, not at all. Her end is going to be bitter. Now, normally speaking, the end of a thing is better than the beginning of it, but not for the strange woman. Look at Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 8. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 8. It says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." So yes, generally speaking, Ecclesiastes is a lot like Proverbs, where there's generalities that are given that normally hold true. And you also have to remember that Solomon is also writing this in a frame of mind where he's a bit jaundiced with life too. So he's everything kind of has a bit of a dark cloud over it in the book of Ecclesiastes. And you kind of get an idea of what life in the real world's like. And it's not always a bed of roses. But anyway, he says there, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And that's generally true. You know, the end should be blessed. But it's not the case with a strange woman. Her end will be worse. And for her, this world is all the heaven she's going to get. And she's got sore judgment awaiting her. And the man who gets trapped in her snare will find that she is more bitter than death. Look at Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 26, just a few verses down. Solomon said, "And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her." So this is an experience, Solomon says, when you get caught by the strange woman, by her nets and her bands, it's more bitter than death. And it's true, because the man that ends up in her arms could very well hope for death, would rather have death than either the physical suffering, the mental suffering, the shame that he gets from society, any number of things he would probably choose death over. And then let's look at the second part of that proverb. It says, "But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword." So if you look in the scripture, like in Hebrews 4:12, for instance, a two-edged sword is used for piercing. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. This verse is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and most everybody mistakes it to be talking about the Bible itself, but it's actually talking about the Lord Jesus, as I've showed you numerous times before. Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So a two-edged sword, and this is speaking, of course, figuratively, but it naturally does, and figuratively and spiritually, pierces, right? Jesus Christ can pierce, literally, through dividing soul and spirit. He can do that. We can't. I can't even really tell you the difference between soul and spirit. People will tell you they can tell you the difference between it, but then when you look in the Bible and they say, oh, the spirit's this and the soul's that, and I can show you in the Bible where the same thing is said of the soul and spirit and vice versa. So anyway, the distinctions that I've heard, I'm not sure hold up. But Jesus knows what the difference is, and he can pierce, you know, split right between the two of them. But that's what a sword's used for. In the old days, when you went to battle, you would pierce with a sword, which is a lot better. You see the old the sword fights where they're, you know, swinging them sideways and clanging their swords together. That's not really the way that you're going to kill somebody with a sword, is slashing at them. You pierce them, right? When you poke straight through them, they're going to be done. And a sword is also used. Well, before I go there, though, I just thought of another one. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, it talks about being pierced. There's a fruit fly. If you wonder why I'm not crazy. There's a fly in front of me. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, it talks about being pierced through with many sorrows. This is not referring to a sword necessarily, but I just want to get you the idea that when something pierces you, it's causing sorrow. 1 Timothy, I'm going the wrong way because this fly has me all distracted. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So I just want you to keep that in the back of your mind, and I'll come back to that here in a minute. So a sword is also used to execute vengeance and punishment. In Psalm 149, 6 through 9, this is why her end is as a two-edged sword, because her end is going to be met with judgment and punishment. The Lord will execute vengeance upon her and upon those that go unto her. Psalm 149, 6 through 9. It says, "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth," speaking of the saints, "and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord." So we see here that punishments and vengeance is executed with a two-edged sword. And this is the end of the strange woman. It's also an instrument of death, which is, we've kind of already shown that, but let me give you another verse in Exodus 22 and verse 24. We're going to start to get the picture here of what's going to happen to the strange woman. Exodus 22 and verse 24. The Lord says, "And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless." So a sword, a two-edged sword, will bring sudden death. So therefore, the end of a strange woman will be sorrowful. Remember, pierced through with many sorrows. Her end will be sorrowful and sudden. And the end of her lovers will be the same, as we will see here in the next verse when we get to verse 5. So the moral of the story is, you don't want to be a strange woman, because your end is going to be painful, full of affliction, mourning, sorrow, judgment, vengeance, all those things. You want to stay away from them.